On today's podcast, we have a few exciting topics for you all today. In segment one, Tyler recaps his time at the Louisville Comedy Club where Todd Packer from The Office held a trivia night. In segment two, I recap my weekend of having Brandon Clifford's bachelor party at the lake. Segment three is the same as always, where we finish with a random question, a few recommendations, and Tyler's quote of the week. Welcome back to episode number 16 of the Life After College podcast. I'm your host, Austin Zershmi, joined again by my co-host, Tyler Brockman. And Tyler, we both kind of had crazy weekends, but I want you to dive in first a little bit. What did you do this past week?
Man, I don't know if we had similarly crazy weekends, but I'll jump in. I went to the Louisville Comedy Club. They've kind of taken over residence at the old Impelzeri's location on Main Street downtown. So it looked a little different since last time. Me and my wife went with a couple friends of ours to a kind of office theme trivia night hosted by David Koechner, who plays the one and only Todd Packer in The Office. So it was kind of neat. First time going to a comedy club. I've never even been to any live comedy shows that I can remember.
Really? No cruise ship comedy shows? No, nothing?
I mean, I did like one. The guy was like a magician and comedian type thing, but we're talking like strictly a comedy show, and this wasn't really a comedy show. It was more of a trivia night with some jokes and kind of in character type of stuff, some stories about, you know, working with some of the different people on The Office, some of the people that he worked with on movies and stuff like that. So it was kind of cool. I mean, I didn't really know a whole lot about him beforehand. If I did, probably would have done better on the trivia portions of it, but it was still a good time. Not like too big of a venue, but also not like too small where it felt empty. He came out straight away right in Todd Packer character, throwing out some quotes, and then kind of came around to each table, gave out some fist bumps and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
He gave him some knuckles.
I gave him some knuckles. The man was wearing a hefty ring that kind of put a little bruise on my own knuckles, but it was good. And then, you know, we did a few rounds of trivia. He would tell some stories in between. And then at the end of it, a couple people from the winning teams got to go up there and like reenact a couple scenes from The Office with them. And then we just kind of did like a picture on the way out. So it was kind of just a quick afternoon downtown. We went in. By the time we came out, half of the trees around Louisville had fallen down from that storm. But it was a good time.
How did you all end up doing in the trivia? What kind of questions were asked?
So, I mean, there were your office trivia, but it was all related to Todd Packer, or most of them that I remember. And, you know, I think the ones that started out was like it started off, you know, with the true or false, kind of get you into it. It's like true or false. Todd Packer was in the, like pilot episode. And then it was, the next question was, okay, what, season and episode did David Koechner first play Todd Packer? Because for the Office super fans out there, you already know. For people who don't know, like myself as of a few days ago, Todd Packer was voiced by a different actor before David Koechner played him. So
there's two Todd Packers?
Yeah, I think it started off with somebody who just like did the voice of him over like the phone to Michael. And then I guess it wasn't working out with him. So then they brought in David Koechner, and that's when he was actually like physically there and on scene and stuff like that. So that was, you know, really, really heavy, like Todd Packer focused. And then there were some questions just about like the rest of David Koechner's kind of acting career, you know, some movies and stuff that he'd been in.
What else is he in? I feel like I've seen him in something else other than The Office.
Well, I mean, I think he is most known for Anchorman.
Yeah.
You know, he's in that. He was joking. He was like, how many of you all have seen Hot Tub Time Machine? And, you know, some people raised their hands. And he was like, did y'all like me in that one? And, you know, some people cheered and stuff like that. And he's like, well, that wasn't me. So there was a... There's a couple other kind of actors that he gets kind of grouped in with and confused with. But yeah, he said that he is probably most known for Anchorman. One of the movies that he thought was best was, I think he said Cheap Thrills or something. I haven't seen it. But, you know, he's in several of the, like, Will Ferrell, Steve Carell type movies, and things like that. He was telling a story about how at one point he was offered this like 5-episode arc in The Office, or being the like second like co-lead star in a movie with Luke Wilson, and he ended up going for the movie. And I don't even remember what the movie was, but he was like, how many of y'all have seen whatever that movie was? And like, nobody had seen it. And he was like, well, if you ever need to go to sleep, watch that movie. He's like, maybe I made a mistake turning down that 5-episode arc on The Office. But no, I mean, he was telling some good stories about some of his friends in Hollywood. You know, he lives in L.A., was going around on this tour to a bunch of cities. And I think he does like stand up, a mix of stand up and some of these like office trivia shows. So
yeah, I think he was doing stand up. Like,
I think he was. Yeah. We didn't go check out any of those shows. But we did check out the trivia thing and still got to hear some stories and stuff. So it was a good time.
Was that sold out?
It seemed pretty packed. I don't know. I guess what capacity is, it seemed like all the tables were filled. So I'll go ahead and say, yeah, it was basically sold out if it wasn't completely sold out.
With that, do they like give you a number when you get in to go sit at like this table? Or?
Yeah. So we, our friends got there first and they sent us a text as we were parking that, they went in, told us that they had a couple other people come in, and so they just gave us, like, the table number. So then when we checked in, we told them that we had friends at a table, and then they took us to that table. So it's first time going to, like, the Louisville Comedy Club. I think I'd go back, you know, for some comedian or something like that, some show like that.
Mm-hmm.
They had... I don't know, a small menu. It was kind of the afternoon, so we weren't really looking for food, but they have like a 2-item minimum. So kind of got some, you know, appetizers and drinks sort of thing. But the food and stuff seemed fine and drinks were fine. So, you know, if you were going to a later show, I think you could probably even pick enough things off that menu to handle a dinner or something like that.
Yeah, the comedy club is, I think they're getting a lot of key guys. I know I had a recommendation a couple of weeks ago with Mark Norman. He was actually at the comedy club maybe a month and a half ago.
Maybe I got to pay more attention to it, see what's coming up.
Yeah, I think Casey Frey is coming soon. He's like one of those... He had that video go viral of him, like, dancing with himself, almost.
Oh, yeah.
and like that music video thing. So he's coming. They Ari Shaffir's pretty big. He's been on Joe Rogan a bunch of times. I think he has a couple stand-ups out somewhere. He's coming a little. Well, I don't know if I would go see him, but I think this kind of like opens the door for, you know, a bunch of like different types of comedians to come in through Louisville. And I know Bill Burr is actually coming, not to the comedy club, but to the Yum Center.
Yeah, that's true.
September. Got 2 tickets for that. So we'll see. Louisville may become like a comedy hub. Who knows, you know?
Maybe so.
But other than that, did you do anything else this weekend?
You know, watched quite a bit of the sports happenings yesterday. Started off with the F1 race. They were racing in Spain, known to be a pretty boring track, but this race seemed to be a little more exciting. Kind of continuing with the theme of reliability is going to be huge for this season with the new cars, new specs. Then kind of went into the Indy 500 qualifying, watched one of those qualifyings for the first time. Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting. Didn't watch the whole thing, but watched bits and pieces. So it was kind of cool to see those cars just like right on the edge, going super fast. Had me nervous the whole time that, you know, someone hit that wall like Jimmy almost did.
Hey, chill.
You know. But no, excited for that, I guess, this coming weekend. Maybe I'll have to watch some of the Indy 500.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think they were going, like, what, 230-something miles an hour?
I mean, that was, like, what they were averaging the laps. I mean, they were getting up to, like, 242 or 244 or something like that. So it was pretty insane, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then let's see. Then I watched some of the NASCAR All-Star Open races. Those were fun. I feel like sometimes they're a little more aggressive and just balls to the wall. And then had to flip it over to the PGA. Was watching a little bit of golf because it went into overtime or playoff rounds or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty exciting. Shout out to the guy from Louisville,
Justin Thomas.
Yeah. Shout out to him winning it all, getting the 2.7 mil or something like that.
Yeah. I was looking at a golf scoreboard and the guy that came in last in the money was like plus 18 and got $23,000. I'm like, that is insane.
I don't even know if that covers like all your travel and stuff like that and all the equipment. And, you know, there's probably other expenses that you have, but
what do
it's
you need?
Not a bad day.
You got your own clubs.
You got to pay for the caddy. I feel like you got to pay for the travel, lodging, all that stuff. I don't know. Doesn't seem like golf is that cheap.
You don't think they like give everyone a hotel and fly out or something?
I don't.
Like the NBA.
Yeah, I don't think it's like that. But yeah, I had to flip it over, watch the like 3-round shootout, whatever they call it. Then after that was over, then it was time for the NASCAR All-Star race. Was watching some of that. Then the Warriors Mavs Game 3 was on. So just throughout like running errands and doing some stuff around the house, watched a bunch of the sports that were going on this weekend as well.
Yeah. The Warriors look like they're going to be taking care of Dallas, which is a little surprising, but, you know, it is what it is. I was hoping Luka would be able to carry Dallas and do like some James Harden with the Rockets type with the Warriors, but, you know, the rest of the team isn't showing up like how they did last series. And that's just the way it goes, you know?
Yeah.
Stinks for him, but we got Boston and the Heat coming up next tonight, and then we'll see what happens with that series. Rooting for the Heat. I think Boston fans are nuts and want them to suffer.
I don't know. At this point, I just want a healthy-ish team to come out of the East. Otherwise, the finals against the Warriors is just going to be a blowout, I feel like.
Might be five games, and then the Warriors win again.
Might be. I mean, if, you know, you got the Heat coming out, and they got, you know, a hobbled Jimmy Butler, you know, a hobbled Tyler Hero, some other player of theirs kind of gets banged, bruised up. You know, I don't see them being too competitive. Or if the Celtics turn around and win this, and it seems like every other game they're figuring out a whole new starting lineup because they'll have a couple players out. So I don't know. Need those teams to quit banging up on each other so that at least a somewhat healthy team can come out of the East.
Yeah, only time will tell. I'm sure we'll find out by the next episode of the podcast for sure.
That's true.
Coming in hot for segment number two, this past weekend I had the bachelor party at the lake house in Lake Berkeley for Mr. Brandon Clefoot. We were there from Thursday night to Sunday morning. Got a lot of different things to talk about there. But first things first, I want to go ahead and give a shout out to everybody that came. So we had it for Brandon. I ended up driving myself, him, and Tyler Sharp down Thursday night. Met up with one of Brandon's friends, Alex Terry, down there. And then we had Tyler Harris, Chandler Youngs, Jacob Darnell, and Hunter Perdue all come down. And I believe that should be it. It should be all nine guys total. But we had a good time Friday. I guess everyone got there Thursday night, which was kind of surprising. I feel like we kind of talked about some people were going to come Friday, but everyone actually ended up getting Friday off, so a lot of people came throughout the day Thursday. We got down there probably around 6 or 7 or so. And then we had people come in basically throughout the rest of the day and night. So we didn't really do too much Thursday night. We had people coming in, I think, as late as like midnight or 1 a.m. Eastern time, which was kind of nuts. But I had gone to bed way before that. But in doing so, I was awoken by a bunch of screaming and yelling from this one particular debate that a lot of people were having. And, you know, everyone had the drinks flowing, feeling pretty good. Everyone's having a blast sitting around the table, catching up, shooting the shit with everybody. And it seemed like, you know, between the guys that were out there having this discussion, that the debate was pretty evenly split. But the question was, would you suck a peen for $1 billion? And I think, you know, a lot of people probably in this world, a lot of people that are comfortable with who they are, comfortable with their sexuality, will probably, you know, say, you know, for $1 billion, there's probably not a lot that I wouldn't do.
I could be real comfortable with $1 billion, you know.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you had those guys that were like, oh, ain't no way I'm doing that. You suck one cock, you're a cocksucker for life. And, you know, it was pretty evenly split on people saying they would, saying they wouldn't, but $1 billion is a lot of money. So I was awoken up at probably 1 or 2 a.m. to that argument between everybody that was awake. So that was a fun time to get woken up. But Saturday morning, or no, not Saturday, Friday, we had everybody there. Had a big breakfast, had some sausage biscuits, had some eggs, a little bit of bacon, and packed up the coolers, and we're ready to head out onto the boat. Got the boat in the water. We got the jet skis in the water. Was out there probably, I'd say probably for about 4 or 5 hours at least, and probably longer than that, maybe about 5 hours. It was pretty windy Friday. The lake itself had some white caps, which is basically a decently sized, you know, small waves to where they look kind of white on the top. Those are called like white caps. And, you know, had a bunch of those throughout the whole time. Was probably had like 20 mile per hour winds. And with it kind of being the week before Labor Day or Memorial Day, we were pretty much the only boat on the lake, really. But that didn't deter us from the fun we were having. We found a cove and chilled out there for a little bit. Jet skis running up and down, tossing the football around, people getting sunburnt, yada, yada, yada. But had a good time. Actually ended up having somebody was laying down on the boat with their phone in their lap and stood up real quick, and then the phone dropped into the lake from the boat. And, you know, we're thinking it's gone. It's, you know, it's Friday. We're not leaving until Sunday. And that would have been, you know, a bad start to the weekend. But the phone ended up going into, like, the engine bay area where there's, like, almost like a big bucket that's, like, closed off from the rest of the lake. And then the phone was in there and was able to pull it out, and it seemed to be working fine, which is kind of crazy. So no issues there. Phone was good. I'm actually kind of surprised nobody lost a phone or lost anything on the trip, especially with how those guys were drinking.
Yeah, I don't take my phone out on the boat.
You don't?
No. Dang. I let other people take pictures for me, everything like that. No, I don't. I get too nervous about it.
Do you have, leave it. On Rough River, do you have good cell service on the boat?
I mean, I don't know because I've never done it. So I don't know what like Verizon's like. I think some other people have had like Sprint or T-Mobile or stuff like that. And depending where they're at along the river changes their cell service. Typically, though, if you want to play music, you better have it downloaded to your phone because it can be hard at times. But I think they typically have enough service to text the other people where we're dropping anchor and where people can meet up and how long we're staying out and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think Lake Barkley surprisingly has a lot of service out on the lake. So everyone kind of had their phones taking pictures and, you know, had everything locked up and good there. We ended up riding down past the state penitentiary where all the good guys are located out on the water. The state pen is actually in Eddyville, and it's like right on the lake practically. And you can kind of see it from our lake house's kind of beach area, and it's probably, I would say, a good 20-minute boat ride out. So it takes a while to get there in the boat, and it took definitely a while coming back for sure, because you're going, especially on Friday, we were going into the wind, into the current. So it seemed like that trip back from the state pen really took forever. But with those rough waters, we hit, it looked like we were in where Deadliest Catch is filming all their shows at.
Like in Alaska?
Yeah, that's some of the waves. They got a little crazy. Usually the first couple seats on the boat, you'll get sprayed every now and then. But there was this one wave that came up and it soaked literally the entire boat. Like people in the back were laying out in towels or had their clothes on, and they were just completely drenched because I don't know like what happened, but some big wave or the way that we came down on it just flooded the whole boat, and it was kind of funny. Everyone was screaming and yelling.
So was this your first time taking the boat out like on your own?
Yeah, they only had the boat for like a month.
Ooh, and they let you drive that?
Sheesh.
Sheesh. Shout out them. They got some trust in you.
I wouldn't trust me. I didn't even trust myself.
Yeah, I'd be scared.
I was scared. And like, there's a section in the cove where the boat is docked at that you have to go in between like these two buoys. And within those two buoys, it gets to like 4 feet deep almost, like if that. So you have to be like in between the buoys to get to like have the whole 4 feet. If you go on the inside or outside, you're probably scraping the bottom, messing the engine up and stuff. So that was kind of hectic, especially with the wind and the waves. It was kind of hard to control, but managed to do it. And you know, everybody had a good time, so that's good. After that, everybody was hungry after being out on the water the whole time. So we ended up going into the city in Eddyville and went to a Mexican restaurant. And everybody did tequila shots, which was cool. Had some margaritas, had, you know, Mexican food, things like that. Everybody had a good time and ended up coming back Friday. And, you know, some people went to bed early. For the most part, I was actually kind of surprised at the time that I was able to go to bed and when everyone kind of calmed down. I think the older you get, the less you're able to stay up. You know,
hey, being out in that sun is no joke, though, you know?
Yeah, and then especially the next day because we had to get up early as well. So everyone kind of, you know, went to bed probably, I'd say, before 11 or midnight. I was probably in bed maybe around 9 or 10 before that. But ended up going to bed, not causing too much ruckus after dinner. And then woke up Saturday morning to go golf. Went to the Mineral Mound State Park. I believe they call it the Cully or something like that. Named after a former UK golf player. And yeah, the course itself is right on the lake as well. And, you know, different holes, you have different views of the lake. Sometimes you're shooting over the water, you're shooting with the water on the left and the right side. Just an overall beautiful course. We ended up breaking our teams up and doing like a scramble, and we're going to compare scores at the end. So in the scramble, you're kind of playing best ball. Every team, we had 8 guys end up golfing. 1 guy ended up leaving early Saturday morning. So we had 8 guys golf. Team 1 included Hunter Perdue, Cameron Dawsey. That's who I didn't mention in the first one. I knew I was forgetting somebody. Cameron Dawsey, Chandler Youngs, and Jacob Darnell versus myself, Brandon Clefoot, Tyler Harris, and Tyler Sharp. There was, you know, 18 holes, obviously. We talked about it before, about how long it takes to golf. And we had tee times at 8:20 and 8:30. And we were not done until after 1 o'clock.
So it was almost a solid 5 hours out on the course for our 18 holes and ended up finishing plus one, which was, I think, you know, pretty good, especially since it was like my first real time golfing. They actually ended up using a couple of my balls as best ball. So that was, you know, pretty good to contribute when I've never really swung golf clubs before. Hit a couple cool, nice drives. Had a nice pitching wedge shot onto the green. Suck a putt.
Okay.
So wasn't too bad. I was able to hang in there. We actually ended up finishing plus one. The other team finished plus two, so we won by stroke. But we actually probably could have finished like minus two, minus three if we maybe hit a couple decent more putts. But overall, you know, I was happy with how I played. I would definitely go back. I would look into maybe getting my own stuff and, you know, maybe every time I go down to the lake, maybe hit up the course for something if I got friends with me, because it was a fun time. It's a beautiful course. Weather was perfect. Wasn't really too hot. It actually ended up getting a little cloudy towards the end, and later that night it did end up raining Saturday night. So after golf, we kind of stayed in. I made spaghetti and, you know, filled everybody up, and ended up grilling out burgers for that night. But we stayed in, played pong, played putter ball, which is basically like mini golf and beer pong combined into one. And watched a little bit of the UFC fight night. And pretty much just chilled out inside that Saturday night. Nothing too crazy happening there. House is still in one piece, not burned down. Boat is still afloat along with the jet skis. And in the midst of kind of eating our burgers and stuff, we had another debate that, well, it wasn't really a debate. It was basically Brandon Clifford versus the world with this debate. But we were arguing, I don't know why this was, why he was willing to die on this hill. But he was saying that what we had weren't steak burgers because they weren't flat and kind of smashed on the grill and like real thin. And we were trying to tell him, you know, you can have a steak burger and it be thick or something. A steak burger is the type of meat that the burger is. It's not how you cook it. And he was willing to die on this, you know, hill that a steak burger is, you know, the meat and then also pressed down on the grill, smashed, steak and shake style. And, you know, we're just trying to tell him that you can have a steak burger and just have it, you know, be a normal sized hamburger. You don't have to smash it down. And we were going back and forth, and he was definitely wondering why we were not seeing his side, just like we were wondering why he is willing to fight everybody on this. We actually ended up, you know, looking the definition up of what is a steak burger, because that's what we were having. And it was, you know, it's a type of meat that's, you know, ground beef and like some chopped steak kind of grounded together. And that's what a steak burger is. But he was really adamant on it had to be pressed down on the grill, steak and shake style, put the seasoning on it, and that's what a steak burger is. But we let him have it. It was him versus everybody else, and I don't think he came anywhere near winning the argument. But I have to give kudos to him for willing to have a hill to die on when everyone's yelling at you.
Sometimes you got to stick to your guns, you know, even if you are wrong.
seeing if you're shooting a Nerf gun. But you know, that was the last of the debates and the arguments. Golf was crazy. Tensions got a little high within our team between Brandon kind of getting frustrated with his drives, Tyler, you know, wanting to hit more of his putts. I was just out there having a good time, trying to keep the morale high. I was out there not really stressing about any shot. You know, I bought a case of balls and was not expecting to bring any home. So the fact that I ended up bringing some home, I was happy with how I played and was willing to, you know, do what it took to keep the morale high. We actually did end up winning, like I said before, and you know, it was overall a successful weekend. We got to leaving Saturday or Sunday morning. I got all my days mixed up. There was actually nobody really slept in any on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. I would say everyone was probably up around 7:30 Central, 8:30 a.m., you know, kind of all 3 days at the latest. Well, of course, there's people that were up earlier. And we actually probably ended up leaving around probably 9 Central time Sunday morning. And got everything cleaned up. All the cans put away. Looked like we weren't even there. Started washing the towels and stuff. And got to hitting the road. Wasn't too crazy of a drive back. No traffic really on the Western Kentucky Bluegrass Parkway.
Man, that's a boring road though, I'll tell you what.
I don't really mind it because it's straight.
It's straight, but it's just like the same hills over and over and over again. You're just seeing grass out the right window, grass out the left window. I mean, there's nothing to look at.
I'm focused on the road. I got my podcast playing.
And, fair enough.
You just get lost. I just like that there's never really any traffic on that road, which is
yeah, very clutch. I guess we took it not a lot, but we would go down maybe twice a year when my sister was at Murray State. And so we basically took it till the end. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like there was always construction or something. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I'm just imagining it worse than what it was.
Yeah. There's actually a couple like huge houses on, you know, off in the distance. You can see on the hills and stuff.
Passing. But you're paying attention to the road.
Hey, sometimes your eyes wander. Oh. But when we were coming back, I was kind of noticing, you know, you listen to music all weekend. You're kind of getting music out. You're tired of the music. You want to go back into your routine of listening to a podcast. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. In segment one, didn't really get to it. But listening to podcasts is really only meant for one person, I think. It's very hard to have a podcast plan for multiple people because you're going to have different interests. People may have different ways of listening to podcasts, especially with people around. Maybe the people on the podcast will say something, and then you and your friends want to like have a dialogue about that while the podcast is still playing. So it's like 4 or 5 people are talking at once and talking about maybe 2 separate things. So that can kind of get difficult. But, you know, I really kind of got to thinking that there's got to be something to do with podcasts to help make it a more group-friendly experience, because I feel like it's always one person has the podcast that they like to listen to by themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Mm, yeah.
You can't really play them with your friends around.
Yeah, it's not like throwing on a song and, you know, if that song isn't your jam, you know, you wait for the next one to pop up. Doesn't matter.
the podcast is on. I mean, they're a little lengthier. So if it's not your thing, you kind of might as well take a little snooze in the back seat of the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I probably tried about two or three of them to see what the boys were into. Tyler ended up passing out. I'm sure it didn't matter what I was playing, but ended up bumping a little bit of some Whiskey Ginger with Andrew Santino and Dusty Slay. He had an interview with Dusty Slay. We listened to a little bit. I listened a little bit to the Jesselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project with Greg Rosenthal, NFL analyst, and Anthony Jesselnik, comedian. Had a little bit of Pardon My Take on there. But, you know, everybody made it back in one piece. House is still there. Boat's still afloat. Everything cleaned up. Overall, pretty successful and memorable weekend. Took some pictures, posted on the gram for everybody to see. If you haven't made your way to that, go check it out at Zersh24, I believe. Go see that. Go see the videos. I got a couple golf swings on there from Brandon and T-Sharp and Dossie. So go critique their swings. Let them hear it for sure. But overall, a very successful weekend. And you and Emily ought to come down one of these days. And, you know, maybe me and you can go golfing and finish plus 18 and maybe win 23,000 here in the next couple of years if we keep practicing.
Sounds like a plan. We're about to have our first lake weekend coming up for the long weekend. So mm-hmm. Get into the groove.
Jumping in to segment number 3, we finish each episode the same way. We got a random question. We got a few recommendations, and we finish strong with Tyler's quote, tweet, song, lyric, whatever he wants it to be of the week. But first things first, we got our random question. And this week's random question is, what is the best fast food chicken spot? Now, I know there's a bunch out there. You got Chick-fil-A. You got Popeyes. You got, you know, you can get chicken tenders from Dairy Queen, McDonald's, Joella's, Royals. What else is out there,
T-Brock? I mean, you got the Cane's. You got the Zaxby's. You got, I guess if you're getting into the wings, you could go with, like, the Wingstop, Wingzone. That type of chicken stuff. You got Lee's. Never forget about Lee's. Talking about indies, I guess. I just thought about that one, so it's not going to influence my pick, but you know, getting a box of wings and some spicy tenders from indies really starts off a football tailgate strong, let me tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the tenders and I get the wedges. You got to get the wedges every time you go to Indies. That is like the staple.
That's true.
But
yeah, there's kind of a few different genres of the chicken setup. So you and me go ahead and go first. Hopefully I'm not going to steal yours. I'm only picking one place. You know, sometimes I cheat the question and pick a few answers, but
yeah, you go first.
All right. My pick is for Popeyes.
Motherfucker.
Oh, no. I could have sworn you were going to go with Chick-fil-A.
I was going to go on a tangent how everyone would say Chick-fil-A, but I was going to swing Popeyes.
I mean, I just think it's like a better KFC, you know? It's got, you know, more flavor. It's a little more expensive. But
I think it's funny that we both went on tangents of chicken places and we didn't mention KFC.
Oh, I thought you mentioned it at the beginning.
I don't know. Roll the tape. We'll see. But all right. So I'll let you kind of dig into the Popeyes answer then.
Yeah. So I think with Popeyes, you know, a lot of these different spots, they got, you know, all kinds of different sides. I really like the seasoned fries. There's only a couple fast food places that have the seasoned fries. Like in Arby's, they have the seasoned curly fries. A Rally's has their seasoned fries. And Popeyes also has their seasoned fries. So it's a rare thing to have fries with a little bit of flavor with a bunch of these places out here. Chicken itself is, you know, I think the most flavorful. You have all different types of chicken kind of tastings with all these different spots. You know, they all can have the same thing. It can all taste different and bring, you know, a different energy to your meal. But, you know, I'm with you right here. I'm going Popeyes as well. I think they got the supreme tasting chicken. Get the seasoned fries, get that biscuit. It's one of the best. What's your reasoning for it?
So I guess it started for me in high school. There was a KFC. Well, there was several like fast food places in walking distance to school. And so started out freshman year, you know, school would be over, but then you still have a couple hours before like practice started. So, you know, we'd all like walk to one of the fast food places, chill out for a little bit. Then, you know, once we started practicing, like at the end of school, that changed a little bit, got a little pickier with our choices. Then it was the whole like, okay, you got, you know, 3 hours until you got to be here for the bus. But there was a KFC that closed and then a Popeyes opened up in that spot. And it was probably the closest walk out of any of them. It was the best food, you know. So that was probably when my desire for Popeyes was at its highest.
Yeah. What's Reese doing?
She is chewing on my arm. So I don't have her remote with me to give her a little beep or a little vibrate. So she's just going after it.
Don't you like hold up like a fake remote just to like show her?
Hey, I mean, I could try sometimes. I mean, I just did it with my cell phone and she kind of paused a little bit, but she's right back at the arm. She knows that I'm all talk. So.
But what would you say are your three favorite chicken places then?
Three favorite chicken places. I mean, now I got Indies on the mind, just because, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, a football tailgate. So I'll go Popeyes, Indies, and I'll be a little basic. I'll go with the Chick-fil-A. That's probably the one that I eat the most just because there's one of those at school. I feel like you're always ending up with a Chick-fil-A gift card or something like that. So mm-hmm. It's an easy one to get a nice chicken sandwich. Waffle fries, I mean, I'm fine with them. They aren't my favorite fry, but I'll eat them, no doubt.
Right. Yeah, so this is, I feel like we always have similar answers. Either you take mine on the second or third go around of your answers, or
I thought I was being nice this time, only picking one answer.
And of course, you know, when you pick the one, it's the one that I got. But that's just the way it is sometimes. You know, we were roommates for a reason. The Prov did a good job with their research putting us together.
They knew.
But with that, switching gears, we got our recommendations. And I'm going to go first, even though I know you won't have this one as your recommendation, because I know what you've done with this sport. But I've seen a lot of ads recently within the golf world, seen some videos of people having this type of setup in their backyard. But I think my favorite part about my whole golf experience. Yeah, I hit, you know, a couple decent drives, but I also lost a bunch of balls. Didn't lose any balls putting, which is pretty good, but it was probably one of the more harder ones to really focus up for, because you can't really dick around. You have to fully concentrate and hit it in one putt. I was more of a I don't care if I miss or not type deal. But the one that I had like the least pressure and probably the most fun was when we were just outside the green and we would use a pitching wedge to pitch from, you know, maybe 10, 15 yards off the green and getting it as close to the hole as possible. You kind of hit from underneath the ball and it kind of, your swing through goes under the ball and it goes up in the air and kind of, you know, bounces, you know, shortly kind of around the hole, or that's what you hope for at least. And I had, you know, decent amount of success with that. And, you know, I might maybe try and get a couple of targets to have. Maybe I'll get my very first club and make it a pitching wedge and get a couple of balls and go out to this open field by my apartment and practice pitching, you know, 10, 15 yards out into these little targets. I feel like that could be some fun and easy way to pass the time. But that's going to be my recommendation, is kind of pitching in golf. So go out and get some targets, get a club for $5-10 on eBay, however much they are used, and a couple golf balls, maybe foam. They can be real, probably doesn't matter. Set up a couple targets, practice your swing. Get out on the call or get out on the golf course and put your skills to use. What do you think about that?
Sounds like a good idea. I've seen people use those small little, like, they look like wiffle balls, but they're like the size of golf balls that they play around with, those sorts of things. So
I've seen people do it in their house. Mm. I'll set up a long hallway or something.
I feel like you got to have a big house or a really good swing.
Yeah. Got none of those right now.
All right. Well, my recommendation for the week, I'm going to go with the Louisville Comedy Club. You know, it was a good experience. Kind of a cool vibe. Definitely think I'll go back at some point. Don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if there's kind of a, you know, smaller time comedian that you know of, or you want to go to like one of the open mic nights or something like that and kind of catch a comedy show, I feel like it's kind of, you know, you see those clips on like TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or whatever of some of these smaller comedians in these small settings, and they're doing like the crowd work stuff, and it's funny. It's stuff that you haven't seen before, because, you know, no one does a Netflix special with crowd work sort of thing. So I feel like that type of stuff you can only get really at a setting like this. So I'm gonna recommend the Louisville Comedy Club.
Yeah for sure. I'll be on the lookout schedule wise see who they got bringing in. You know, I'm big into my comedians. I like to, you know, listen to a bunch of podcasts with a bunch of different comedians. I think
you probably know them better than me. So if you see one of the up and comers that's coming through, you'll have to let the pod know. Let me know. Might have to make it an event.
Yeah, I'll give you a ring for sure. We'll make it a date night.
Date night.
Maybe stop by Gelato Gilberto's afterwards.
Whew. It's the best gelato place in the city.
And with that, we end every episode the same way. We got Tyler's whatever he wants to talk about for the week. Tyler, end All us right. on a strong one.
Yeah, I got a quote from the one and only Todd Packer.
And this is how David Koechner opened up the show coming out the door. He said, "What has two thumbs and likes to bone your mom?
This guy."